Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies, feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Love, Arkeef, I see you. We'll get to you here shortly, but I just got a notification. And Xfinity, you're picking the wrong time. The night after election night, you're going to tell me in an election that probably won't be done by tonight that you're going to do service in the area and there are going to be outages, which affect the internet. And I have YouTube TV, so that's how I get my TV through the internet. You're going to do service starting at 6 a.m. Now, I won't be there. But for someone who would be at home watching, trying to get the latest on election coverage, Xfinity, pick a better time. What are we doing? You need to be at my house at 6 a.m. tomorrow or in the area at 6 a.m. and outages are expected. It's bad timing. Read the country. Forget about read the room. Read the country, Xfinity. You don't have to do it that day.
Yeah, could probably wait till Thursday.
Yeah, probably. I won't be there. I'll be here, so I won't be directly affected on Wednesday, on tomorrow morning. But
yeah, other people in your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Trying to watch, I don't know.
Trying to see what happens in North Carolina and Pennsylvania, however the battleground states play out. They're going to be affected. Shout out to Xfinity for picking the worst possible time to do this.
The Panthers traded Jonathan Mingo. How's this affect the North Carolina battleground state?
If you'd rather watch ESPN and First Take as opposed to CNN, you'll learn how Jonathan Mingo fits in with the Cowboys and how the Panthers will overcome his absence. A fourth rounder, I believe, the Cowboys traded for Jonathan Mingo, a guy who has less than 20 catches on the season.
So that seems aggressive.
You talk about the value dropping. He was a third-round pick in 2023. He's caught less than 20 balls this year. You're giving up a first-round pick for him?
Fourth round.
Yeah. More than a third-round pick for him, a fourth-round pick for him. What are the Cowboys? That's a stupid question. What are the Cowboys doing? That's a dumb question to ask.
Hopkins went for less.
Yeah, what are we doing? Jonathan Mingo. Maybe it's a ploy play for the future.
Less for Amari Cooper?
Yes, that's out there. Again, they got less than what the Browns got.
And they gave up more than what they got.
Yes.
They traded him away.
They had to trade away more in terms of draft compensation for Mingo than what they got for Amari Cooper. You can hear your Cowboys, for the most part, here on ESPN 97.5.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
The Eagles this week?
Yeah, those games are on the station quite a bit. So you can be upfront and miserable with your team if you listen to us.
You want to listen to Jonathan Mingo's debut.
Catching passes from Trey Lance or Cooper Rush. Because Dak's probably going on IR. That news is out there.
And they can't tip their hand about which way they're going. Yeah, they played the Eagles. 3:25.
Can we have
coverage starts at 3?
Both teams that we cover or have games for never tell who their starting quarterback is until minutes before the game?
Yeah, let's do that.
The Aggies do it. The Cowboys do it. Resulting in losses, probably.
Well, results, yeah.
We'll see. We'll see what happens this week with the Aggies and the Cowboys. But first, let's talk to a guy who... I don't know if he hates the Aggies, but the name suggests he doesn't like them very much. Longhorn Keith wants to talk some college football. What's up?
Hate is such a strong word.
That's why I tried to clean it up a little bit. Yeah,
I appreciate it. But, yeah, I dislike them thoroughly. But, you know, you were mentioning earlier, and I'll segue into my comments about college football. You're talking about D'Amico Ryan's conversation or his comments yesterday in his interview or his press conference. And one of the things that I'm glad you called this out, because I wondered if it was just me, or does the rest of America, or specifically sports fans, realize that this coach speak is almost like gaslighting the fans sometimes, because they're telling us that we don't see what we see. And I feel bad for journalists. Like, you guys have to ask those questions because you're kind of petering along that kind of gray line area, so to speak, if you will. But for me, I'm sitting at home every day watching garbage in, garbage out. And my garbage in, garbage out, and I think you know the bane of my existence, is that of one Quinn Ewers. I could care less what people say about his arm talent, about what he did in high school. What I do know, that guy is college quarterback, let alone an NFL prospect. And the jargon that comes out of people's mouth that try to defend his play is so asinine to me. And I'm just, and every week we have to go through this. For example, you mentioned what D'Amico was saying, it's everybody, right? And so, you know, it's everybody's fault. The offense got to play better. And I hear Steve Sarkisian saying this all the time. It's, you know, everybody's got to play better. He's got to do better. I'm sorry, but no one is more in control of his arm angles than the damn quarterback throwing the ball. How does he get his ball stiff for interceptions? It's mind-blowing to me. But anyway, I say all that to say I think the college football season is going to be great. I think we probably will be in it when it comes down to it. And I'm hoping that at some point that Quinn Ewers is healthy. But if he's not, I am 100% riding with my man, Manning.
Understood. Appreciate the call, Longhorn Keith. I was thinking about, as you're talking, Quinn Ewers gives me some Eli Manning on the NFL level vibes as far as their comparison. I think he is the Eli Manning of college football, where I think he should be better, but every time I see him, he tells me he's not going to be better. He's fine. And Eli, for the most part in his career, was always fine until he went on runs. And Quinn Ewers at times, when he's playing really good teams, can go, oh, look at that. That's a Quinn Ewers I was told about. But for all the other times, it's like, well, you can throw the ball 2 yards behind the line of scrimmage and let your player make a play. It goes as passing yards. That's cool. But I think that's my vibe with him. He reminds me of Eli without obviously the titles. Can he go on a run and win a title this year? Sure. I think Quinn Ewers is capable of having a hot streak in the playoff if they get there, which is likely at this point. But I don't expect it, but I wouldn't be all that surprised if it happened. But I don't think it will. But if it happens, like, okay, I think Quinn Ewers is capable of leading Texas to a national title. I just think he's more of an Eli Manning type than a star quarterback.
Which it is a very funny comparison, considering who his backup is. To be well, know who you remind me of?
Yeah,
this guy's nephew.
Yes,
or this guy's uncle.
But the lesser of his
yeah,
uncles.
That too.
Yes,
that too. That's a key part.
Yeah. So then, yeah, Keith, understood. It's probably pretty frustrating to watch him when you think you may have a much better option waiting, but Quinn Ewers will get the benefit of the doubt until he doesn't. As far as the Texans and coach speak, yeah, it's what we hear a lot, and you're not going to crush the coach for doing it because that's what they all have to do. Very few times you're going to hear a coach come out and go, yeah, this guy and this guy are trash. We can't win games the way they're playing. You aren't going to get after your offensive lineman like that, because what's the point? How do you win that way? You don't win anything, for being brutally honest. What, we don't deride you? We don't make fun of you for talking to us in coach speak? How does that help your cause? You don't have to deal with us on a hour-by-hour basis. You talk to the media, well, for a head coach almost every day, but it's for like 30 minutes at a time, if that. He has to deal with those guys throughout an entire year trying to win football games. So It's what it is. But, D'Amico, you're not fooling us. As Keith said, our own human eyes are telling us what's going on. And that team is being hurt mightily by how bad that offensive line is playing, even with all the injuries in other places. And speaking of that, Eric, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. Nico Collins has not been designated to return yet. D'Amico Ryan said that they will continue to evaluate him throughout the week, whereas Jeff Okuda is back. And there's one other player is back. So is Nico Collins not a definite to play on Sunday? We all thought that how the reporting was going, that he was going to be back. He's the four games is all it was going to take, but they're still going to evaluate him. So apparently that isn't a clear go for Nico. And maybe it's just gamesmanship, just trying to keep the Lions unbalanced. Is Nico going to play? I don't know how much that would do to the Lions, considering they're like a death machine right now. Doesn't matter who they play. I'm sure they're very afraid. I'm sure the games you're playing is really messing with Aaron Glenn.
Yeah, it's a situation.
If they're playing games.
It's a situation where it's like, okay, so we prepare for Nico Collins. Now he's not playing. Oh, no. Got us. Like, oh, no.
It's Hutchinson out there.
Oh, no. How are we going to drop coverages for only Tank Dell and not Nico Collins and Tank Dell?
Yeah.
Hutchinson and Metchie. How are we going to stop these guys?
Yeah, unfortunately, there's no up in air airness about who's playing guard for the Texans. Like, hey, you know what? There might be an all-pro that's going to play at guard on Sunday. We're just not sure yet.
How do we prepare for Kendrick Green or Jared Patterson? We don't know.
Yeah, how are we going to deal with it? So we'll see as the week goes on. We won't find out today, likely. We'll see if Nico Collins is at practice tomorrow. Eric, I see you. We still have to do the misery index. We'll try to get to that before we wrap it up. We will be back. All right, let's get to Eric. Eric, you've got a question for me. I wonder if this is specific to me or is it generally about sports? What's up, Eric?
Hey, Dell. Great show. I have a quick question. Well, a couple of things. Why did they have the Knicks and the Lakers up in front of the Rockets on the ESPN rankings? That's garbage. Also, why are the Astros getting rid of all the Mexicans like Jose and Seth Martinez? And did you catch the Penguin? Tell me what your thoughts about it. I mean, listen.
I don't know if the Astros outrighting Jose Urquidy is about him being Mexican. By the way, the Diamondbacks have claimed Seth Martinez. That would make some sense. I believe Brent Strom is still there. No, he's gone, right? He's gone, right?
The Butcher left.
I forgot, yes. The Butcher of Bel Air is gone. But Seth Martinez was claimed by the Diamondbacks, so there's that. I don't think it's about their heritage. But you might want to do an investigation, Eric, and let me know what you find out. As far as the Rockets being behind the Knicks and the Lakers, we can get into it being click-driven, attention-driven. But once you click on the link for the power rankings, the link has been clicked. So I'm not sure why they would have them in front of them. I guess these rankings were put out before last night's game. And I think the Knicks were 3-2 at the time, and the Rockets were 500. So maybe that's what it is. I mean,
But the head-to-head win should move them up in the next
week. Yeah,
rankings,
Eric, don't you worry. When the rankings come out next week, the Rockets should be ahead unless they have a bad loss to the Spurs.
Yeah,
on Wednesday.
Can't trip
you
up.
Never know. Can't trip got the you got another week to determine who's going to be atop of the ESPN rankings in basketball in the NBA.
Do you ever think about what if professional sports actually just put the number by the team's names when they played from like the Ooh. ESPN? Like if they're playing on ESPN, they have an ESPN power ranking.
So the Cavs
you
one
just put a little one next
when
to
the Cavs
to the
Celtics. Cavs yeah. 1-2.
Yeah, just how silly would it be?
It'd be very very dumb.
Where do you cut it off? Because like they don't rank every team.
When they get to a certain point in the year, does ESPN still have the score bug where they put up your record?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they do that to show how good the teams are.
But that doesn't really tell you how good they are. Well, you know who really tells you how good they are?
Like
when Tim Bontemps puts out a power ranking.
Eric, this is Sean's way of saying the rankings are dumb. Don't worry about it.
No, what?
Don't worry about it, Eric. The Rockets were behind the Knicks in the power rankings.
And they scored an upset win.
They got an upset win. Number 19 beat number 16. And now you can look. Actually, the Knicks would be higher. They're probably about 10 or 11 right now. I don't know. I haven't looked at it. But just know, in the top 30 next week, the Rockets should take a big leap, yeah, unless they drop a couple games. We'll see.
I'm surprised they didn't storm the
ESPN,
court.
Well, they didn't know the rankings. If ESPN would have put a number next to it, yeah, they would have stormed the rank. They would have stormed the court.
That, every time I think about it, it's so funny. I'm like, people will get so upset because right now people – I mean, I guess people do kind of care. But for the most part, people don't like sit there stewing about where like the Texans are, like the – I don't know if the Steelers or Chargers are ahead of the Texans in whatever the CBS power rankings. Like no one actually.
No, the only
cares.
people are bothered by that. Like if all their content is about the Texans and they're not even bothered by it. They're doing stuff for engagement. Well, they'll throw up. Well, the 33rd yeah team has the Texans eighth behind this team, and this team is this team. Can you believe it? And then people react and they get their engagement. But for the most part, no one is actually that offended because you know what happens. You can just watch your team play and nothing is determined by what some publication ranks them. Just go out and win games. That'll determine it. And if you don't, you're not in the playoffs. And if you do, you're in. So there it is.
Number one team in the nation comes to NRG on Sunday Night Football. That'd be something.
Yeah.
Don't tell me that a top 10 matchup on the Sunday Night Football.
Not according to ESPN. The ESPN, even before the Jets lost, had the Texans as 12th.
Oh, what?
So it'd be a giant upset if they could beat the Lions.
Okay, wow.
And then if a call goes wrong, people will throw water bottles on the field.
Yeah.
And then Toro will be like, no, please don't, please don't throw stuff on the field. D'Amico won't do it. He's not walking out there, but Toro will. Guys, please don't. No. The cheerleaders have to run out there and pick up all the bottles like what happened at Clemson this weekend. It happened at Clemson, not to the same effect because no call was changed, but the cheerleaders and Clemson support personnel had to run out there and clean up water bottles off the field.
Do you think that now, like after the incident in Austin?
That's what it's being called? In Texas circles?
No, but people, I mean, after Texas did it, whatever, a month ago, do you think there's a week or like that next week, all the different teams set down their cheerleader squad? I was like, listen, if this happens, like, we're deputizing you to pick up the garbage.
Yeah, don't look around acting like what's going on. It's on
no,
you.
It's your job.
Yeah.
Get this game started in a somewhat timely manner.
And depending on how many bottles fall, the girls and the guys who are at the far end of the field got to come down here and help too.
Yeah.
It just depends on how many. Like, let's make it quick.
God, why do we have to do it? Hey, the Texas cheerleaders did it. You could do it here at Clemson.
You don't have the same pride that the Longhorn cheerleaders do? Clemson, we're a family.
We are a family.
And speaking of Clemson, let's get to the misery index. But we won't start with them. We'll start with the team whose games are on ESPN 975 every Saturday that they play. A&M goes on the list. I'm not going to call it a trap game because everyone told them to be ready for this. It did not matter. I said this during What Have I Learned This Weekend, that A&M has trouble tackling big, jumbo, fast athletes at the skill positions. They're not alone, but it was particularly clear on Saturday night. Sellers, Rocket Sanders, all those guys made plays. It was a big night for explosive plays for the Gamecocks. If you're questioning what Bryce Williams Stadium is like at night, you got a full taste of it. And it's funny because the Aggies got down early. They went forward after being down 7-0. They went forward down deep in their territory. Don't get it on fourth down. I would say to Mike Elko, Coach, you want to be Riverboat Mike? You want to be aggressive as a defensive coordinator type now that you're head coach? Don't use your 180-pound quarterback in a tush-push scenario. Turn the ball or snap the ball. Have him turn around. I don't know if Le'Veon Moss is still in the game at the time. I think he was. And hand the ball to Le'Veon Moss to see how it goes. Don't ask the guy who's not squatting anything to do what Jalen Hurts does, particularly against a really good defensive front who was not surprised by what you're doing. That started the snowball. And I say that even though the Aggies bounced back and wound up taking a lead before it went to halftime as a tie. That second half, all South Carolina, they dominated that half. And credit to them. That's a big win for them. I believe you had Shane Beamer singing a Fantasia song to his wife during the post-game celebration, because he said something like, I hear all my guys singing this at practice. Well, it's my wife's birthday, and I'm going to sing it. And he claps, and he starts singing the song, and the whole locker room does a serenade to Shane Beamer's wife as they get a big win. And now they're still right outside the rankings, but South Carolina has had losses to LSU, and they lost to Ole Miss at home. And then there's one more that is less quality of a loss for their three losses. But big win for them, so A&M goes on the misery index after a lot of talk about what that Texas A&M game will be. Now, they could win out, and I think they control their own fate with only the one loss in SEC play, but no more room for error when it comes to A&M.
So they lost to Alabama, too.
Yeah. So
South Carolina.
South Carolina's lost to Alabama. Close, that game came down to like a deep ball down the field that was picked off where, if completed, Carolina would have won that game. So three quality losses to varying degrees as far as the score is concerned. It was a tough one. People thought it was a tough one, and A&M went down. Let's throw Iowa State on the list. They lose for the first time all year. They lose to a Tech team. Credit to Joey McGuire for that. I was watching that game, and we talked about it yesterday. It was one of those games where Iowa State felt like they're going to pull it out, just like they did against UCF. And they scored a touchdown late, not as late as they did against UCF. It gave Texas Tech some time, but it was one where I was like, if you're Texas Tech, if they're going to score a touchdown, that's the way to do it. They did it on like a third and long, but he got free, broke a tackle, and scored. And I was like, yep, you know what? You got plenty of time. And Tech went down there and scored. They win that game. And Iowa State takes a loss, and it opens up the Big 12. Colorado's in it. Certainly Iowa State's still in it. BYU is still in it. Obviously as the undefeated team in the conference. So we are maybe on the path towards a BYU-Colorado Big 12 championship game. And nothing says Big 12 like BYU. Although Colorado has been in the Big 12.
Yeah.
But now they're back. But nothing says crowning a champion in Arlington like Colorado and BYU.
Playoff stakes.
Very BYU. It is actually the truth. Yes, one of those teams who wins. Whoever wins is making the playoff. So that's on the table. As far as the ACC is concerned, we'll throw Pitt in there. They got beat down in Dallas by SMU. Great performance by SMU. That game was never close. And SMU is now one of the clear favorites to make the ACC title game. Pittsburgh, if they would have won, they would have had a tougher schedule down the stretch than SMU does. But they would have been, along with Miami, the favorites to make it. Eli Holstein and that Pitt offense had no answers, and neither did that defense. Just SMU got after them. Explosive plays. Rhett Lashley, I don't know if he is going to stay there long, but SMU got a guy. The question is, how long are they going to keep them? Now, it is a power conference.
Yeah, they got money.
And SMU has a lot of money. And we'll see what this season does to maybe change how much SMU believes they can win. Like, they're investing money. If they make an ACC title game and win one and make the playoff, then they may be a program that's like, why not us?
Yeah, they're not. If they make the playoff, if they just play in the ACC title game in year one, I'm going to tell you, they're not going to invest less.
No.
They're not going to invest less. They're not going to be discouraged. So, yeah, I think it's obviously miserable game for Pitt to show up undefeated and just immediately have no chance. But on the flip side, I know this isn't what we normally do in this segment. Good job for Pitt or for SMU.
Definitely. That's a team who
we normally don't do that.
We're normally
on the downside.
Yeah, it's normally a place where we point out how miserable other teams are, as opposed to the team who's winning. But for SMU's point of view, it has been a really good year. Their only loss on the year is to BYU, close.
And they were playing the wrong quarterback back then.
Yes, that sometimes can be a problem. Since Jennings has taken over, they've been great. Now, they did have the unfortunate 6-turnover game against Duke that almost cost them, but it didn't. They blocked that field goal, won in overtime, and he bounced back with a good performance. If we're looking at the that was bad. That was bad. So Clemson has Pittsburgh on the schedule. I'm looking at Pittsburgh. If they had won their schedule going forward, they'd have Virginia, Clemson, Louisville, and Boston College. So much tougher. SMU, I mean, anything can happen. We'll go with that caveat. But as far as them down the stretch, it's Boston College, Virginia, SMU. Excuse me, Cal. Cal's at home. The other two, Boston College is at home. The Virginia game is on the road. So a much easier schedule, much easier path for them now that they beat Pitt to make that ACC title game with an undefeated conference record, where at this point it would be Miami. Miami has to go to Georgia Tech. We'll see if Haynes King is playing, knowing the history of Miami and their luck. Haynes King will play. The starter will be back in that game.
He got to run it back.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm sure that he didn't kneel play. Will be played over and over again.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And the drive. Don't forget the four-play, 75-yard drive.
Drive. That's what we're calling it. Yeah. That drive, the three plays.
The drive. Some are calling it.
No. If anyone's calling it, it's only Georgia Tech. The drive. Georgia Tech, their biggest win of the year last year. And we'll see if Haynes King plays, the former Aggie. He has not been able to, and it has hurt Georgia Tech quite a bit. It'd be great for them to get their starting quarterback back. Another team on the list, I was trying to think of this because we put Clemson. We haven't talked much about the Clemson game. Clemson against Louisville was one where Clemson finally saw a team who could challenge them in some ways, and they had no answer for it. It wasn't to the level of Georgia because Louisville's not Georgia. But Clemson has gone through their schedule beating up on bad football teams and looking good doing it and rising up the rankings. They were in the top 10 until they had a bye last week, not this past week, the previous week, and then they dropped to 11. And it looked like they had played crap teams because they reverted back to being the team who couldn't stop Georgia in the second half and a team who couldn't really score against Georgia throughout. They had a couple block field goals that changed the game, but down to down, Louisville just looked better. Clemson got up early. They scored a touchdown early, and it felt like, okay, Clemson's feeling pretty good about themselves. Then the Cape Klubnik I've known that he always was showed up again. Not the one who were like, hey, maybe a dark horse Heisman candidate.
Yeah, sixth in all the power, like Heisman power rankings or Heisman odds. He was always like the longest shot, but you could kind of go, hey, make a case for it.
No. Clemson's in the ACC title game. If they beat Miami and Cam Ward, he has a great day. Maybe we're talking about Cape Klubnik. Then we realize, oh, yes, Cape Klubnik.
Yeah, wait, who are we talking about?
Yeah.
That's right.
He looked like that guy that we saw against Georgia.
Give me Jennings.
Indecisive, throwing the ball into the ground, missing guys. Clemson looked bad, and Louisville handled them.
Yeah.
And now Clemson is on the outside looking in for an ACC title game, which is one they thought they would be in, considering how they had played since Georgia.
Yes. To wrap up the ACC talk, Kevin Jennings, officially.
The second best quarterback?
My number two quarterback
in
the ACC.
So, Klubnik gone.
Congratulations. Although, don't ask Kyle McCord what happened after I stamped him.
Yeah, and Jennings like...
You already had your turnover game. That's all right.
Oh, that's what you're saying. They both have had him.
Yeah, but he won his. I like winners.
True. Well, he won his because Duke blocked the kick. But, yes, he did win his. And he won against Pitt, which is
no one else can say that.
No, he won his because SMU blocked the Duke kick. And then he won his against Pitt because... they dominated Pitt from start to finish.
As Kyle McCord was facing Pitt's.
Very true. Kyle McCord would say, man, I don't know how you did that.
Yeah, common opponent, boom. That's part of my RPI.
I thought it was like the MPI, the MAPES Performance Index.
Yeah, sure.
And
we can work on the acronym.
And Jennings is leading the battle for second-best quarterback in the ACC. So any other teams?
I know everyone was waiting for
obviously
the second because it was vacant for a week.
Obviously, we needed someone
ourselves.
We needed someone to fill that void. Kyle McCord had dropped the ball with an awful performance.
Ugh.
Anyone else we throw on this list? Oh, Penn State. What are we doing? Didn't even mention Penn State.
Yeah, I was going to say Penn State, Kansas State.
Yeah, K-State's on the list too. K-State drops a game here.
Got rained
in Houston.
It was miserable weather.
Yeah, somehow their game.
Also, a miserable weather game that you think plays into Kansas State's hands? Nope, not really.
Yeah, except Houston can't throw the ball anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Run the ball, play defense is what Houston does, and they win another game. They beat a top 25 team at home. Congratulations to Willie Fritz. And obviously Penn State, another game where they should have beaten or could have beaten Ohio State.
Yeah.
I don't say should have because even though I believe they were favored, I don't think Penn State should be considered a team – that beats Ohio State. This was an opportunity to do it, but playing them over the last decade, we've seen what happens there. Ohio State beats them. This was a vulnerable Ohio State team, one with the bad offensive line. You have it at home. You have a great defensive front. You just could not score, which was highlighted by the three trips inside the red zone, and you only get 3 points. You got a pick to end the first half. You got a turnover on downs to end your final drive in the second half, and then obviously you kick the field goal. So, and James Franklin's getting in fights, verbal altercations with fans who were rightly pointing out that you only score 3 points with three possessions inside the 10. He said, "Hey man, what's your name? You want to talk? What's your name?" Yeah. Now, the guy didn't give his name.
He dropped the rock on him.
So he did back down. What would he have said? It doesn't matter what your name is?
Yeah, I think that's what he was setting up.
He couldn't do that.
He would have won me back, honestly, if he did that.
Yeah, he couldn't do that.
It doesn't matter what your name is.
So he rang the bell instead. The victory bell, which in its name
says...
Yeah, which in its name says you only ring it when you win. But James Franklin won the battle, but not the war. He lost the war to Ohio State. So Penn State still has a chance to get to the Big Ten title game, but they have to get a lot of help. Ohio State has to lose again, and then somehow Indiana has to lose twice. Or once. I don't know how the tiebreaker goes with them in Indiana, but Indiana's undefeated in conference. They play Ohio State. That would give Ohio State their second loss, then somehow Indiana has to lose a game someplace, which I don't think is happening.
They have to lose a not-Ohio State game.
Yeah. So Penn State, let's just say they're screwed.
Yeah.
But you know what? They may wind up hosting a playoff game and losing that to Ole Miss or something.
Enjoy being the 6th or 7th seed.
Enjoy playing Georgia potentially in a playoff game. It's possible. Or, you know, maybe they get BYU or something. Who knows? But BYU would probably have a bye. Let's just say no matter who Penn State plays, we're picking the other team at this point. Until proven otherwise.
I feel comfortable picking.
Like, I don't care whose the matchup is. I feel comfortable picking the other team.
Like small asterisk.
Unless it's Boise. I'll give you Boise.
I mean, but they're not going to be the 5 seed. That'd be ridiculous. The loser of the SEC or Big Ten championship game is going to be the 5 seed.
True. That's true, and they will
play
Boise.
They have two teams in the top. Both conferences have two teams in the top.
Yes. So if Penn State is like anywhere from 7 to...
They'll be 7, 8, 9.
7, 8, 9.
I hope they're 8. I hope they host a game.
I want them to host a game and lose. Now, weather might play a factor. They might have the weather advantage. It could be snowing at that time. That would help them if they're playing a southern team.
Yeah, because now they're like, well, can't throw it with Drew Aller. Oh, no.
No, I mean, but maybe a southern team
I get it
going up there wouldn't respond to the elements.
I thought you were saying like...
No, I wasn't talking about.
Darn it! Now we have to take the ball out of our 5-star quarterback's hands.
No, I've seen Drew Aller play.
Yeah,
that wouldn't cross my
mind.
Hand
it to Tyler Warren.
If they're hosting Alabama or Tennessee, maybe it doesn't go well for Alabama or Tennessee up in Happy Valley in a snow game. That's all.
Okay.
We are done. I believe. I don't know if any other team would make the list. Other teams lost, but K-State,
Navy, because they had to wait in a rain delay and then lose to Rice.
And they probably could have looked, hey, why is K-State playing? Why can't we play?
Also, 2 weeks ago, they were ranked. And now
they've lost two in a row.
Yeah.
And one of them was a game where they spent, 12 hours waiting for a game to be played, it felt like, for them.
Yeah.
As far as the whole experience from start to finish. So, yeah, they would go just for having a miserable experience overall. But they did not make the list because there are so many other teams who could.
Yeah.
All right. We have, we'll probably have one more segment to go at this point.
Yes.
But first, Sean, let's talk about Prize Picks again.
Yes, I do want to talk about Prize Picks again. I want to talk about Prize Picks all the time, but I'll segment it off just to these parts of the show, just for Dell's sake. Yeah, Dell. Get touchy if just the entire show is about
that's my personality.
Yeah.
Someone who's always.
Yeah, he's like, my name's on the show. It's not Prize Picks show presented by Sean Mapes. That would probably be flipped. But no, it is. Prize Picks. I'm brought to you by Prize Picks for the next, 45 seconds. there's a lot of sports underway. Today, the NBA is off. There's no NFL game, but it is Taco Tuesday, so you are going to get some player projection discounts on Prize Picks right now. Maybe like Rutgers. The new look, Rutgers Scarlet Knights, starting 25th in the AP poll. Maybe like Ace Bailey, maybe like Dylan Harper to go over their projections. Maybe they'll be discounted so you feel even better. Bet that. Coach Cal makes his debut with Arkansas. new look Arkansas Razorbacks. Here's a hint. Basically, every college basketball team this year is going to be new look thanks to the transfer portal and how often these guys move around and how often coaches move around. But if you know some if you know your stuff, you can make money on Prize Picks, America's number one daily fantasy sports app. You just go to the App Store, download Prize Picks, and you get $50 instantly when you place your first $5 lineup. That's $50 instantly when you play at least $5. Prize Picks, run your game.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
We mentioned the Cowboys trading for Jonathan Mingo, the wide receiver formerly of the Panthers. Khalil Herbert is now a Bengal. When he got the news, he went to Twitter and said, "Thank God, hashtag who day." Khalil Herbert hasn't gotten a lot of carries this year. Only 8 with the Bears. That's now a DeAndre Swift joint. But now he is a Bengal, and he's thrilled. So I love a man thriving. We'll see how he does there.
It's a Roshan Johnson joint, by the way.
Oh,
Chicago.
Excuse me. It's a Roshan and DeAndre Swift joint.
If they want to win games.
We'll give it to Roshan. Look up where he went to school if you want to know why Sean's so adamant that Roshan should be getting all the carries.
You probably don't have to look.
Yeah, now that I...
Long time listener.
Now that I put that in context, you don't have to worry about looking that up, I would imagine. So he is in Cincinnati, Khalil Herbert, that is. The Texans will see a recent trade acquisition, Za'Darius Smith. The Lions acquired him. You can probably expect him to play against the Texans as they are looking to fill the void, and they won't really be able to, but without Aiden Hutchinson, who I guess could come back for the Super Bowl, at least that was put out there, they need another pass rusher. So it's a wild thing to say. If we make the Super Bowl, he could be back.
I think if you can come back for one game, like there's only one game where you can possibly come back, I feel pretty comfortable saying you're out for the season. Because they're not saying like, well, maybe in the playoffs he comes. No, it is.
They're pointing
the
to
Super
the,
Bowl.
The final NFL game on the calendar.
The earliest he can be healthy is February, what, 10th?
Whenever
11th?
It is.
Yeah,
it's like, nuts. But they don't want to rule it out. You don't want to question
hobble out there.
The recuperative powers of Aiden Hutchinson, so we will not officially rule him out.
Dear Aunt Lushbury.
Whatever it takes, right? It is the Super Bowl, so we'll see. But they do acquire Smith, and he will be in CJ's face likely on Sunday. It is a primetime game. The Texans are going to be wearing their all-red uniforms. That is officially announced. All red top to bottom. Texans Sunday night against the Lions. Oddly enough, it's red versus blue. Imagine how that plays out in this country today. So we'll see. Texans, Lions, Sunday. Will the Texans add anyone? We know, or at least we believe, they need O-line help. They have signed a couple guys off the street to their practice squad. Not exactly what we're looking for. You would like to go steal a starter off another roster and insert him into the offensive line. Right now, the Texans, at least on Monday afternoon when DeMeco Ryan spoke, it didn't look like there would be heavily active in the trade market. Here's DeMeco on the chances of the Texans acquiring someone through trade.
Yeah, my opinion is always the same on that. I mean, we're with Nick and his staff, we're always looking to make our team as good as we could possibly be, right? Do we have a heightened sense of just making a move just to make? No, we're always looking to add to our team, add to our depth. That's something we do constantly throughout the year. So there isn't just a mad rush now at the trade deadline for us to change our approach and how we go about managing our roster. Our roster management doesn't change. Right? We're always looking to upgrade.
And the upgrades were a couple guys who weren't playing in the offensive line. So he mentioned adding depth and upgrading the depth. They believe they did that. Whether those guys can be of any help, we'll see. Well, Collins is out there. He's being looked at, not necessarily by the Texans, but that's another guy who has at least started games. He's more of a tackle, and I think the Texans feel pretty locked in at tackle with their starters and obviously Blake Fisher. So can they find help at guard? They're not looking to rush it, and they're not just going to make a move. They're not going to pull a Cowboys where they're giving up a valuable pick for someone who is of middling quality, or at least in Mingo's case, just unproductive in his short time in the league. So be prepared for Kendrick Green or Patterson to be one guard, unless they can convince Tytus Howard to move the guard and push Blake Fisher to tackle. And I say convince because I think it's going to take some. I don't think they can just, hey, Tytus, we need the help.
You think the guy who put right tackle only in his Twitter bio might have some feelings about moving away from right tackle?
Kinda, yeah.
Okay.
Kinda, yeah.
You know what? I think that's fair.
The man who made it known right around draft time that any thought of you moving me away from right tackle was something he wasn't going to be happy with. I would think he might have some pushback if they come to him and go, hey, Tytus, it's best for the team. You know what's best for the team? Me at right tackle. And to be fair, he's not a good guard.
He isn't that good of a guard.
He's better than Kendrick Green.
He would be
maybe not better than Patterson. Maybe not better than Patterson, but better than Kendrick Green.
Yeah, he would be an improvement, but ultimately, like, the net gain of what you're getting with now your question mark is moved to right tackle.
You're putting a rookie at right tackle. You're putting a rookie at right tackle, and you're putting a, let's say, below average guard in, and a unwilling player, by the way, who doesn't want anything to do with it, which might actually affect his performance. A guy who's not looking to play there.
Yeah, it's playing a little bit of whack-a-mole there. I think their best bet is...
to pray?
Well, yes.
Or trade?
That's always the best bet, is prayer. They should have been doing that. Wait, did they not pray before the Jets game? Well, maybe that's where it went
wrong. We know there are several men of God on the team, so I imagine prayer was a thing before the Jets
game.
Okay,
good. Just want to make sure we're covering our bases.
Does it matter which God you pray to? Or do you pray to them all?
Just pray to the right one.
There it is, the right one.
I think I forgot where I was going to go. Oh, Jared Patterson probably is your left guard, I'd imagine, once he clears concussion protocol, given the moves that they made have all been guys practice squad adjacent.
Sure.
Either on the practice squad or practice squad adjacent. So I have a tough time seeing them getting a new starter in any way. And if we compare that plan, like just Patterson at left guard, the line remains the same, as opposed to moving Howard over and then Fisher at right tackle. I like just putting Patterson at guard more than that option, if you're saying that they're not trading for someone.
Yeah, I misspoke. Lael Collins was the guy the Texans worked out. I said maybe not interested from the Texans' point of view, but they did work him out.
Yeah.
Now, whether they sign him or not, that's a different story.
Yeah, that's even lower on the totem pole than signed to a practice squad.
Yeah, Jerome Carvin is one of the new practice squad members. They signed him. He was a former Tennessee Vol, but now he's on the practice squad
for
the
Texans. That was all the pictures I saw was him in college.
Not him actually in an NFL uniform.
I thought that was not a great sign.
Yeah, it doesn't make you feel great, right? So they did, and they added one other practice squad player. But at this moment, that's our five out there right now. Unless they make a relatively drastic move and move Tytus Howard to guard, which we don't think is happening. I think we'll see Patterson if he's healthy. We are done for the day. And so we're done. What does that mean, Sean?
We did it!
We did do it. I'm going to talk to you tomorrow. But first... let's talk about MyBookie. MyBookie is the place you go to if you want to bet on some action. That's right. We had a caller, Pena, ask me about over-under on shots for Brady Tkachuk. I didn't have an answer for him, but you know who would have a place for him to put money down? MyBookie. You can bet on hockey. You can bet on action tonight. I think you could probably still get a bet in on the election. I'm not sure how that plays out once the polls are open, but they have election betting on the website. So go take a look at that. The website is mybookie.ag. It's easy to use. Just use the promo code BET975 to match your first deposit up to $1,000. So if you're just new to this, you don't know how much you want to spend, hell, you're not even really sure what you're betting on. Put 100 in. You get to play with 200. MyBookie is matching. They're giving you a chance to make your money go further. So from votes in the election to college football, to the NFL, college basketball is back, the NBA, not tonight, but tomorrow. All that is there for you at MyBookie. Bet on anything, anywhere, anytime. Remember, just go to mybookie.ag.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.